Good morning, brothers and sisters. And thank you, Sam, for using these two hymns, reminding us the grace and the blessings that the Lord has given us. Last week, I was sharing here with the Chinese congregation, the Chinese-speaking brothers and sisters. I've been pondering whether I should share the same message again. I really have a burden because I felt that the message I share with the Chinese-speaking brothers and sisters is just as useful to all of us here, the young people. I know you are, you know, the Chinese congregation, a lot of them are a lot older than you are, and most of them, actually a lot of them are senior citizens. So they may not be as well-educated as you are, they may not be as intelligent as you are, but I think the word of the Lord is equally important to them and to us as well. Today, I don't have much high doctrines to share with you. I just want to share with you a very simple theme, very simple message, which is the blessings and the grace that the Lord has given us. That's simple enough, right? I'm sure most of you can understand the blessings and the grace that the Lord has given us. This morning, can we open our Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 again? It's the same passage that I read with the Chinese-speaking brothers and sisters. It's a passage that is very simple. We all understand every word, but to really sink into the meaning, need a lot of meditation and careful study of the word. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The first two verses are very simple. We all know that the book of Ephesians is a book full of very high and very glorious truth, Christian truth. But today I'm not going into the depth. I am just sharing with you the first few verses that Paul used in this epistle to encourage us to go back to the basic. Go back to the basic. Go back to remember the grace and the blessings that the Lord has given us. Okay? We all love to hear very spiritual doctrines, very spiritual truth. Good. That's wonderful. I think we need that. No question about we need that. But so often we love those spiritual topics and we've forgotten to go back to the basic, which is the grace and the blessings that the Lord has given us. Okay, let's read verses 3 to 8. Okay, very few verses. I'll read it slowly and let's meditate on the words, okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Okay, we will stop there. These few verses, very simple verses, there is no complicated words. You understand every word of it. But to get the full meaning of it, need a lot of humility, need a lot of meditation. Let me read this to you again, one more time, and let's try to meditate on the words, okay? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. In Him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. When we think of the blessings and the grace that we have received, very often we have a very different concept than what we were told here. We have a very different concept. You know, we are mostly young people here, right? We all have things that we like. You know, I'm not that old, but I've been your age once as well. So I can understand how you feel. You know, when you graduate from college, from university, you know, the thing that you pray for is, Lord, give me a good job, right? So Lord, if you give me a good job, I promise I'll give you 1/10 of my income. You keep 10%, I keep 90%. Fair enough? Okay, that's how we tell the Lord, right? So we think finding a good job is really God's grace and God's blessing. Nothing wrong with that. God provided us with good jobs, okay? And then when we're starting to drive and we have a small income, then we tell the Lord, Lord, I really want a good car. Lord, bless me and give me a good car. Okay? So if I have a good car, I will be very satisfied. I will use my car to drive brother and sister to church. Okay? So we pray to the Lord for that. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord gave you a car. I don't know how good it is, but the Lord gave you a car. Everyone here, I can see that most of you are driving, so you have a car. So once you have a car, you have a good job, and then you said, you pray to the Lord, Lord, give me a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Okay? Give me a boyfriend or girlfriend. Well, then I'll be very satisfied. You know, if I find the right person, I'll get married, and our family, you know, to me and my family, we serve the Lord. That's what our intention is. So we pray to the Lord, Lord, give me a girlfriend or boyfriend, right? So that's what we pray for. And you know, the Lord bless all of us, and one day the Lord will give us a family, right? And we tend to forget what we told the Lord, right? We ask for grace and we forget the other side of it. So the Lord gave us all these good things. And then some of us will pray to the Lord, Lord, I really bless me and give me a child so that I can buy a minivan. Because, you know, lots of brothers that have a minivan. I don't have a family. I can't drive a minivan. So, Lord, give me a child. So, you got a child, you got a minivan. You got everything you want, right? And then you said to the Lord, Lord, I will raise my child so that one day he will serve you. But, you know, the sad thing is, the Lord gives us all these blessings, and we tend to forget the Lord. And we only care about our need. You know, forget about the 1/10 giving to the Lord. Forget about driving brother and sister to church. Forget about, you know, as to me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Forget about raising the child so that he will one day serve the Lord. All these things, you know, we count them as blessings. And when we see someone who has all this, we say, oh, he's really blessed by the Lord. You know, he got a lot of grace from God. And we use, you know, our concept is we measure the grace and the blessings of the Lord by all these worldly things. And when we get them and we've forgotten about the Lord, you know, really often, well, these days we have a lot of babies in our church, right? I can see that, you know, people with babies, they are very busy. Well, fair enough, right? Fair enough. They're very busy. And their heart towards the Lord, unfortunately, go downhill. You know, they have excuses like, oh, my baby is still young. When he goes to school, then we will go to church regularly. Today, you know, my child is still young. I'm busy. I can't serve the Lord. You know, let me tell you this. If you really want to serve the Lord, nothing will stop you. Okay? Nothing will stop you. So, what I'm trying to say is, you know, we have a very different concept about blessings and grace that the Lord has given us. You know, when we pray to God, we pray for all these different things. I call them necessity in life, okay? Nothing wrong with that, okay? I've been there myself. I've gone through that myself. And I fell in the same temptation myself. So, but the Lord is very gracious. He loves us. You know, in the Chinese Friday night meeting, we have just finished studying the life of Abraham. We know God really graces to him. You know, he is no different than you and me. Abraham is as weak as you and me, but the Lord was very merciful. The Lord brought him out of the land of the Chaldean. He got into the land of Canaan, the promised land, and he spent 100 years there. 100 years. The Lord used 100 years to mold him and change him until one day he become what God called a friend of the Lord. A friend of the Lord. He really understands the heart of the Lord. You know, God is very patient with us. Sometimes we love things of the world and we forgot about what God wants to give us. And we only ask for things that we think that are good for us. But the Lord is very patient with us. And he continues to change us, to teach us, and to mold us into a useful vessel in his hand. You know, let's come back to this passage, okay? Let's not talk about too many of these worldly things. Let's come back to this passage. You know, in the verse 3, the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Let's concentrate on the word spiritual blessing. You know, the Bible didn't tell us that blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with a lot of worldly things, who gave us a lot of money, a good family, a good car, and so on and so forth. No. The very first thing that the Holy Spirit mentioned to us is he blessed us with every spiritual blessings. You know, when you think about spiritual blessing, you know, most of us will think, oh, I think that's not as important as material thing. Today we live in this world, of course we need practical things, right? Spiritual things, maybe when I get old, okay? So that's our misconception. But the Holy Spirit here reminds us, the blessing of the Lord, he blesses with every spiritual blessings. Why is spiritual blessing so important? You know, a few weeks ago, I was speaking to the Chinese-speaking brother and sister and the non-believers of the gospel. And I used one illustration. I showed them a picture of a galaxy. You know, we all feel that we are very important people in this world. Everybody thinks you are somebody, okay? But if you know how many people in this world think they are somebody, then you know being somebody really is nobody. But everybody thinks you are somebody. You know, okay, put it this way. How many people, what is the population of Canada? 30 million people, right? So if 30 million people, everybody thinks that I'm somebody, you know, you're just one out of 30 million. So you're not that important, okay? And you know how many people in this world? Everybody thinks I am somebody, and then that somebody become meaningless, right? And do you know how small we are in this world? We are very small in this world. You know how small this earth is in this universe? You can't believe it. The earth is just one of the planets in the solar system. And there are 9 planets in the solar system. The earth is not the largest planet. It's one of the very small planets. How long it takes to the nearest planet to Earth? Half a year. With today's technology, half a year go there and half a year back. A round trip takes you 1 year. How many solar systems in this galaxy that we are in? What's the name of our galaxy? The Milky Way, right? The Milky Way galaxy is where we are. I asked my daughter, because she knows more than I do, and she said there are millions of solar system in this one galaxy. One galaxy. This Milky Way galaxy. And you have seen pictures of a galaxy, right? It's like a circular thing, okay? So do you know how long it takes to travel from one end of the galaxy to the other end of this galaxy? One galaxy, okay? How long it takes to travel? She told me. 100,000 light years. Our galaxy. They are larger galaxy than the Milky Way galaxy. But to go from one end of our galaxy to the other end of our galaxy, 100,000 light years. It's beyond comprehension. 100,000 light years. And you know how many galaxies there are in this universe. So I told her, I believe thousands. She said, no. Millions? No. Billions of galaxies. I said, look, I'm using this data to share the gospel. I cannot exaggerate. And she said, you are not exaggerating. There are billions of galaxies in this universe. Can you imagine how large this universe is? When we say God created this universe, so often we say it so easily. But when you really think about what you are saying, God is the creator of this universe, it's really beyond our comprehension. There are billions of galaxies in this universe. That's what she told me. So you can imagine when we say God is the creator of this universe, it's overwhelming. It really is overwhelming. If God is the creator of this universe, brother and sister, how hard is it for Him to give you your worldly need? Think about that. If He is truly the creator of this whole universe, how hard is it for Him to give you a car, a house, a job? How hard is it for Him to do that? But you know, we spend all our effort praying to God, oh, give me this, give me that. And we've forgotten our God is such a great God. When we say He's the creator of this universe, let's have some faith in our Lord. Let's don't beg and beg for this and that. Because if we will seek His kingdom and His righteousness, He promises that He will give us all these things. Brother and sister, have faith in the Lord. Have faith in Him. He will give you all you need. You don't have to beg Him for it. But He says here, not only that He blesses us all these material things that we need in this world, He blesses with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. All these earthly things that you earnestly beg for, you know what? One day you will have to leave them all behind. You came here naked and you go naked. You cannot bring any of these worldly things with you. So brother and sister, think about this. Think about the grace and the blessings that God has given you. It's not the worldly thing that you have been praying for. It is every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. You know, why spiritual things? Because God is spirit. He wants to bless you with Himself. That's why He blesses you with every spiritual blessings. He blesses you with Himself because He is spirit. And only spiritual things last forever, have eternal value. Not only that, it says here, He blesses you with spiritual things which are in the heavenly places. Only things in the heavenly places are eternal. Things of this world will pass away. You know, He does not give us second best. He gives us the best. He knows what's the best for us. He blesses us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. When we see this word every, what do you think of? Every. Every spiritual blessings. In other words, brother and sister, there's no single spiritual blessings He withholds from us. Not one. It says here, every spiritual blessings, brother and sister. In other words, He did not withhold a single spiritual blessing from you and me. Any spiritual blessing you can find in the heavenly places, He gives them to you, give it to you. And that's what He meant by every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You know, the more I ponder on this word, the more I have to bow and worship Him. Who am I? That God looks at me and thinks so importantly of me. That He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He did not say this to the angels. He did not say this to any other creation. He said this to you and me. Brother and sister, when we come to the Lord, let's open our mind, change our concept about spiritual presence and grace. You know, let's not be so limited in our sight. Let's open our eyes. May the Lord really open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our inner man, so that we see what the will of the Lord toward us is. You know, let's change our attitude. Let's not just be contented with a good job, a good car, and a lot of money. Let's not be contented with that. Sure, if the Lord bless you with that, wonderful, praise the Lord. But that's not what the Lord truly wants to give you. He wants to give you every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Got it? It's so rich, so wonderful. The more you think about it, the more you have to understand this grace and blessings that the Lord has given us is overwhelming. It's so overwhelming. We can hardly understand. You know, if the Lord convict us this morning, let's thank the Lord. Let's thank Him. Just like Paul says here, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other thanksgiving that we can give to our Lord. In this verse, there's another phrase that I want brothers and sisters to really pay attention to. When he said, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places? And then there's two little words at the end. In Christ. In Christ. This phrase, in Christ, is overwhelmingly present in this book, the Ephesians. It's everywhere in this book. What does it mean by in Christ, brother and sister? If you sit down, think about this phrase, in Christ, it's really overwhelming. Let's read one short verse in the book of Colossians. One very short verse. Chapter 1, verse 19 of Colossians. Then we'll come back to Ephesians, okay? Let's turn to chapter 1, Colossians, verse 19. A very short verse. For it pleased the Father that in Him, that's in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. Let me read to you one more time. For it pleased the Father that in Christ, all the blessings, all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of God should dwell in Christ. Think about this. What is in Christ mean? In Christ, you find the fullness of God dwell in Him. Brother and sister, meditate on this word. A very short verse. It pleases the Father to put His fullness in Christ. That's what in Christ means. In Christ refers to the fullness of the Godhead. In Christ means the fullness of God Himself. And God, it pleases God the Father to put His fullness in Christ. If you truly appreciate this little phrase, in Christ, what it meant, this verse, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 is so overwhelming. It says, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He blessed us not only with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing you can find in Christ. The fullness of God. That's what He blessed us with. He blessed us with the fullness of Himself. Brother and sister, can you imagine this few words here? How overwhelming that is. These few verses is powerful enough to sustain us throughout our life. Brother and sister, have you ever wondered what drove the Apostle Paul throughout his life? Dedicated himself serving the Lord. He paid such a great price, willing to suffer everything to serve the Lord. And finally, he gave up his life for the Lord. What drove him? Nothing but this simple verse. He blesses with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. No wonder when Paul spoke to the brothers and sisters in the church of Corinth, he said, "I do not know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Brothers and sisters, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is evidence of His love. And that's the same thing he talked to the brother and sister in the book of Galatians. He said, "Today I live in this physical body by one reason, by the faith of my Lord Jesus Christ. He loved me and He gave Himself for me." That's the driving force that drove him all the way, dedicate himself to serve the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's only one verse, and it's already so overwhelming. Brothers and sisters, the more we think about the blessings and the grace that God has given us, the more we have to bow and worship Him. Consider, who are we that God looks so importantly of us? How can we say we are nobody? How can we say we are insignificant? Because we are so important in God's eye. Brother and sister, it's so wonderful, so overwhelming. Verse 4, just Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him. Brothers and sisters, these few words, He chose us. You know, today we see a lot of turmoil in Egypt, right? What are the people asking for? What are they fighting for? Choices. That's all they're asking for. Choices. God has choices. God has choices. And He said, He chose you and me. Just as He chose us. Brother and sister, God has choices. Yet He chose you and me. That's overwhelming. He did not choose the angels. He did not choose any other creation on this world. He chose you and me by His own free will. He has choices, and He chose you and me. It's not as if He has no choice. He shows some pity on us, and therefore He saved us. No. God chose us. The more I think about this word choice, it really is overwhelming. God doesn't have to choose you and me. He has choices. Yet the Bible tells us, just as He chose us in Him. Again, in this phrase, in Christ. He chose us in Christ. As if even the fullness that dwells in the Lord Jesus is not enough. And He chose us as well in the Lord, in Christ. Can you imagine how much God loved you and me? As if all the fullness that dwells in Christ is not enough. And He chose you and me and put you and me in Christ as well. How much God loves you and me. It's beyond our comprehension. It's overwhelming, brothers and sisters. You know, He did not choose us and therefore put us away. He did not choose us to be just His servants. He chose us in Christ. He put us, He made us have a relationship with Christ. When we just said, in Christ, we reflect the fullness of God Himself. And He put us on equal footing with His fullness. He put us almost on equal footing with His Son Jesus Christ. And He chose us in Christ. That's overwhelming. You know, who are we that commands this attention of the God, of the Lord? Brother and sister, let's meditate on this word and let's be edified and encouraged. Just as He chose us in Him. And when did He choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Brother and sister, it's beyond my comprehension, beyond everyone's comprehension. We cannot understand. Before, He chose us before the foundation of the earth. In other words, before His creation, He already chose us. Not only before we were born, before He even created His holiness, the whole universe, He already chose us. And you ask, how can it be? It's not possible. Brother and sister, let's not apply our limitation to the Lord. Let's not apply our limitation and our shortcomings to God Himself. Yes, it's impossible to us to know so far ahead, even before creation of this universe. But He is God. He knows everything. There are two very important concepts that we must understand when we read this verse. One, God is almighty. He knows everything. Second, time is irrelevant to God. Time is relevant to us, but time is irrelevant to God. Everything to Him is present. Therefore, He knows what is going to happen. Because He knows, He predestined. Because He knows, He chose. That's how we explain it. Not applying our limitation to God. We have limitation. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God knows. He's not bound by time. Therefore, He knows. And because of that, He still chooses. It's just amazing, brother and sister. If He knows that we are good, He chooses, then we can understand. But He knows that we are sinful men. And yet, before the foundation of the earth, He chose us. That's overwhelming. It is not because who we are. It's not because what we have done. It's because He loves us. And therefore, before all this happened, before the foundation of the earth, He already chose us. Brother and sister, think about this. Think about this grace and the blessing that God has given us. It's so overwhelming. Not only that He chose us, not only that He chose us before the foundation of the world, and He continues to say here in verse 4, that we should be holy. Brother and sister, we should be holy. What does it mean by holy? What is holiness? Only God is holy, brother and sister. Only He is holy. Nothing is holy. That's why in the Old Testament, when God asked the Israelites to build the tabernacle, and they have to sanctify everything in the tabernacle, because everything in the tabernacle is dedicated to the Lord. And because it's dedicated, because they are all dedicated to the Lord separate them and sanctify them, and they are holy. And then the Lord talked to the Israelites, and He said, "You shall be holy, because I am holy." Because I am holy. In other words, only God is holy. If only God is holy, and here He says that we should be holy. We are not God. As we said, only God is holy. We are not God. We are not holy. But He chose us. He made us holy. And this holiness is not empty. When it says that we should be holy and without blame before Him, this term "before Him" apply to both without blame and equally apply to holy. In other words, that we should be holy before Him and without blame before Him. Brother and sister, That's the grace that God has given us. God will change us. God will change us. He gives us His life. He made us, later on, we were told that, made of His children, sons of God. He made us holy and without blame before Him. This holiness and without blame is in comparison to Himself. Just as He is holy, He chose us and made us to be holy as He is. And just as He is without blame, He made us without blame before Him. To be holy before me is easy. I'm not holy. I'm just full of iniquities. But to be holy before the Lord, to be without blame before the Lord, that is a very different standard. And that's the grace that He has given us. He's not trying to slowly educate us, change us. No. He put His life in us. And slowly He allowed His life to change us. And that His life will come out from us, will be manifested from us. That's how He's working in us. That's the grace, the blessing that He's given us. At the very end of verse 4, there's a small phrase called in love. That applies, I believe, applies to the beginning of verse 4. Just as He chooses in Him. Equally applicable, just as He chooses in His love. This choosing you and me, is based on His love. It's not because we are good. Later on we will see that. It's not because we are good. Up to here, you can see that. We are only at the receiving end of this grace and blessings. We have done nothing. We couldn't do anything. We are at the receiving end, receiving His grace and His blessings. It says here, He blesses with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Him, in Christ. Just as He chooses in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. All this done by Him. We haven't done anything. We are just receiving these spiritual blessings, brother and sister. Isn't that overwhelming? Let's continue. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Brother and sister, when He chooses, He made us sons to Himself. Brother and sister, we are all sons to God. That's what He chose us for. He did not choose us just to be servants, as if, oh, there's too much work to do in heaven, there's not enough angels, so He chose you and me to go to heaven and be servants. No. He predestined us to be sons to Himself. When you read the word sons, it has an S at the end. Pay attention to that. What does it tell us? Sons to Himself. That means each individual is a son. That means each individual is important to God. You are very important to God. You as an individual, it's very important to God. Let's not belittle yourself. You are very important. God loves you. Loves you so much. He predestined you individually as a son to Himself. So, brother and sister, we are so blessed. It's just overwhelming. Very commonly, when we say God made us children of God, this collective term, children of God, we tend to belittle it. We tend to not pay much attention to it. Oh, children of God. So what? But if you read these words, we are all sons to Himself. Each individual, God loves you so much. You as an individual, your everyday life, every little thing that happened to you, He cares. Every little thing, He cares. That's the grace and that's the blessings that God has given you. When we talk about blessings and grace that God has given us, very easily and very often we just think of it as collectively. But God loves you individually very much. And every little detail of your life He attends to. And He loves you so much. I know your parents love you, no question about it. And there are times that He may overlook. They may overlook your need, but God will never overlook any of your need. Every little things that happen to you, God cares. That's why when I read the word sons with an S at the end, it means so much to me. It means so much to me. I'm sure it means a lot to everyone here as well. He predestined us. When He predestined us to be sons to Himself, what that means to me is it will never change. He predestined that to happen and it will not change. Just like I tell the class of brothers and sisters who are going to be baptized, a very important truth is God's love will never change. After you become a Christian, after you are baptized, occasionally we still fall into temptation and we fail. Don't doubt the love of God, because God will always love you. When we sin, we come and confess, and He will wash away our sin, and He will love us. He will continue to love us. We are sons of God, and this will never change. God's love will never change. That's very, very overwhelming. He predestined us sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. He did not just wishy-washily and say, oh, yeah, sons of God, sons to myself. No. He said, sons by Jesus Christ. Sons by Jesus Christ. It will not change. That's quite overwhelming. Not only that, brother and sister. In the same verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will. The fact that He predestined us to be sons of God, the fact that He blessed us with so many heavenly spiritual blessings, it ties to His will. That's very important. It is not as if God just one day what we call impulse reaction. No, this is not an impulse reaction. When we go to the store shopping, we have this phrase called impulse buying. You didn't go intend to buy this, but you saw it and you have the impulse to buy it. That's called impulse buying. When God chooses, it's not an impulse reaction. No. It's part and parcel of His will. It has a relationship to His will. God has a will. A lot of brothers and sisters call this the eternal will of God. Today, we are not going into that direction. All I want to tell brothers and sisters is God does have one eternal will. And this eternal will naturally center around His beloved Son. That's no question about it. But then how come you and I got involved with this eternal will of God? It's not a matter of why. It is a matter of we are part of this eternal will. Here it says, in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, this will, later on you will see that this will refer this eternal will of God. When God chose you and me before the foundation of the earth, it has something to do with His eternal will. That we are related. No matter how small we are, how insignificant we are, we are related to this eternal will of God. We got a part, a very small part, but we have a part in this eternal will of God. And this is glorious. Because God's will is glorious. God has an eternal will, and this will is glorious. And we actually have a part in this eternal will of God. Not only we have a part in this eternal will, according to the good pressure of His eternal will. It's not as if He has no choice. He put us as part of His will. No. It's according to His pressure, His priest to make us part of this will. His priest to make us part of His eternal purpose. That we are connected to His beloved Son. Brother and sister, isn't that overwhelming? I keep using the word overwhelming because I cannot think of another word that can fully describe how amazing that is. If you know that we are just men made of dust, then you have agreed with me that the grace and the blessing that God has given us is really overwhelming. We will not give this treasure to anyone that's made of dust. But God is willing to give us this great spiritual heavenly blessing to men made of dust. That is overwhelming, brothers and sisters. As if this is not enough, brothers and sisters, if this is not enough for you, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. Pay attention to the word accepted. We actually are accepted to God. Isn't that overwhelming? What qualifies to be accepted by God? You know, let me use an illustration. It's not completely equivalent, but let me use it anyway. Okay. Sometimes I have to hire people to work for me. Right? So I post a job. People send in their resume. Everyone sends in their resume. I got a lot of resume in front of me. Then this word accepted become very, very important. Brothers and sisters, if you are applying for a job, then you know this word accepted is so important. Even though this is worldly, but it gives us a little bit of taste of the word accepted, what it means. It's not accepted by me, accepted by God, by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. By which God has made us accepted, acceptable to God. This is the grace and the blessing that God has given us. Who can be accepted by God? We all send our resume to God. And when God said you are accepted, that's what it meant. God has made us accepted, acceptable to God. Even though the word is very simple, accepted. But when you meditate on the word accepted to God, what goes through your mind? Isn't that overwhelming? We are accepted to God. Brother and sister, these are very small words, but when you sit down and meditate on them, you cannot help but bow and worship God. That we, so small, so insignificant, yet we are accepted to Him. No wonder Paul said, praise of the glory of His grace. The glory of His grace. It's glorious that we receive this grace. God changed us, put us in such a high position. In verse 7, I think if we cannot understand everything from verse 3 to verse 6, at least we should understand verse 7. Verse 7 said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It brings us down to our reality. Bring us back to our reality. Who are we? We have sinned against God. We are sinners. When we read from verse 3 to verse 6, it seems to be talking to someone else. How can we identify ourselves to all these blessings? It's true. We really cannot identify ourselves to all these blessings. Because why? Because we know we are sinners. Let's not forget who we are. We are sinners. And yet, the blessings that God has given us from verse 3 to verse 6, they are given to us, even though we are sinners. And let's not forget one thing, one very short phrase here. In him we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. It tells us how God accomplished all the blessings in verse 3 to verse 6 on us. How did he accomplish all this? I said before, we are at the receiving end. We haven't done anything. We receive all these blessings and grace from God. But do you know how God made this available to us? How God made this happen? It is through this phrase, through his blood. That's how God made this happen. He allowed his son, his beloved son, to die on the cross for you and me. That's how he accomplished this on us. We are sinners. No question about that. How can sinners measure up or receive all this grace and blessing from God? Nothing except through the blood of his son. Through the Father giving up his son on the cross and die for you and me. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, among you I do not know anything except Christ and him crucified. And that's why Paul in Galatians tell the brothers and sisters, I live by the faith of his son. He loved me and he died for me. And that's why. You know, I want to put Sister Oichi on the spot now, okay? Have you ever asked Oichi why you dedicated your life to serve the Lord? She's not far away. She's among you. Brother, sister, maybe you think, oh, she can't find a job in the world to serve the Lord. Really? I know her well enough. I can say she's as capable as you and me, or more than capable than you and me. A lot of time, we think that, oh, if I cannot find a job in the world, I will serve in the church. This is an insult to the Lord. If I cannot find a job in the world, then I serve the Lord. When we meditate on these few verses, don't you agree that this kind of thought really is an insult to God? God deserved the best. God deserved the best. He gave you the best. One day you should ask Sister Oichi, ask her to share her testimony, her story with you. The Lord really deserved the best. Finally, verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Brother and sister, in other words, it's not an impulse reaction. A lot of time we think that, oh, we sin. Adam sinned against God. He ate of the forbidden fruit. Therefore, God has no choice but come up with this salvation to us. Brother and sister, no. He loved us, He predestined us, and He chose us before the foundation of the earth. In other words, before Adam even sinned against God, He has already chosen us. He loved us. With all wisdom and prudence, the wisdom of God and the prudence of God, and He still loves us, and He predestined us to be part of His will in Christ. He put us in Christ, in the fullness of God. Brother and sister, praise the Lord, it's overwhelming. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the more we meditate on this word, the more we have to give you thanks, the more we have to bow and worship you. We do not forget that we are sinners. We sin against you. And yet, Lord, you have given us such wonderful blessings, which is overwhelming and beyond our understanding. Lord, even though we do not understand every bit of it, but the little bit that we understand, we should bow and worship you. And we should give you back the best and not the second best. Thank you for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.